let's jump right into this. We've been talking about this for some weeks now, looking at conversations in the Gospel of John that Jesus had with people. And we've been really basing everything that we've talked about on this one statement, how one conversation with Jesus can change so much. How being able to notice what one conversation with Jesus can bring about. Think about this for a moment. I remember, did you ever see the movie Blind Spot? I love that movie. You know, Michael Orr, and I know, I'm sorry, played for the Baltimore Ravens. That's not a good thing, is it? But anyway, he had a great story, and in this story, The Blind Spot, you know, he was kind of this misfit who was taken in by this family. They put him in this private school, and he was really trying to find his way. And you know, one day the football coach comes up to him, and he says this. He says, "Michael, have you ever thought about playing football?" Right? And that one conversation, that encouragement for him to get on the field, I mean, look where it led, right? I mean, one conversation can change your life so very, very much. I remember, for example, back, I think it was like 1974, 73, somewhere in that area, I attended a local youth rally at another church there near where I was born and raised. And I remember this person coming up to me and saying, "Hello, my name is Arlene, what's yours?" Now, I was really dumb. It took me a while to catch on. It was some years later when I finally realized. But that introduction, right? That introduction, that conversation, how that one moment can change your life, can change the direction of your life, change the trajectory of your life, and certainly a conversation with Jesus can change your life eternally. It's absolutely so crucial to notice how this can happen. Have you ever noticed how those things can really change who you are and where you're headed? I remember, I think the year, as I think back, it probably was 1992. I had a conversation with a guy by the name of Dean Davis. And maybe you don't remember, but Dean Davis had been here at this church and spoken at some special event. And he saw me and he said, "John," he said, "I know this church in Altoona, Pennsylvania, the minister is going to be retiring." He said, "I was there." And he said, I think it would be a good fit for you. Have you ever considered making a move?" One conversation can change your life, change the direction of your life, change the trajectory of your life, change the quality of your life. It can change even your eternity. Now, we've been talking about this for some time with about Jesus and conversations that he was having and people's lives that he'd changed. Nathaniel chapter 1, Nicodemus chapter 3, the woman at the well chapter 4. You got the royal servant, the governmental official who asked Jesus to heal his son. Over and over and over again, Jesus encountered these people and their lives changed. So today, let me talk to you about bread. Okay? About bread. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," verse 35. About bread. You know, we don't understand in our culture how important this is. Anytime the Bible talks about bread, he's talking about the sustenance of life. He's talking about life itself. He's talking about how life can be revitalized, how life can be ongoing, how life can be enjoyed. It's talking about strength and vitality in a person's life. Anytime it mentions the word bread. Now, we don't understand this quite as good, I think, as we should. For example, when I was in Ethiopia some years ago, Kristen and I spent some time over there, And every morning we would go out to a little souk. They called them a souk. There were these little businesses out on the street that would sell different things, and they were just kind of family-owned kind of situations. And there was this one souk that made bread, and we would go out there every day and we would buy our bread for the day. It really made me understand what the Bible says when it talks about, Lord, give us this day what? Our daily bread. You see, back then, and certainly in Ethiopia, they didn't have the way things are preserved today. I mean, how is it that we can buy a loaf of bread today and 6 months later, you know, it might be a little dangerous, but you could still eat it. There, though, we'd buy the daily bread. I'll never forget it, though. I was going out one day, and Kristen, that was kind of her job because she had kind of taken up with the language, and she understood the language much better than I did. And the word for bread was gnosh. And she said, Dad, go out and go to the souk and ask for half ganache, which was a half a loaf of bread. And that would be between us, our daily bread. She said, just make this motion with your hand and tell her you want half ganache. And then she, you know, had the exact change of what I needed. So I went out and here was this, you know, I said half ganache. And this woman got the bread and she gave it to me and I gave her the money. And then she started just talking. I had no clue what she was saying, but I could tell that she was upset about something. And I'm like half ganache. And she's like going on, and I'm like half ganache. And what I found out later was that the cost of the bread had gone up overnight. And I didn't have enough, I wasn't giving her enough money. And she wasn't about to let me have my bread until I paid for that daily bread. But I remember when we'd get the daily bread and we would go out and we were doing our different things that we were involved in. And we would run across these little African children and they would see that you had bread. And it was so easy to share some of your daily bread with them. You know, Jesus here was talking about bread. I am the bread of life, and if you eat of this bread, you will never be hungry again. Same thing he was saying back in chapter 4 with the woman at the well when he said that I'm the water of life. I'm living water, and if you drink of this water I'm giving you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, give me this water. I desire this water. And here, I'm the bread of life, and they say, we desire this bread. See, we don't understand the concept of what Jesus is trying to say here. Like the other night, I was still up and it was quite late and I was hungry. And I went in the kitchen and I was going to make a grilled cheese sandwich. We had no bread. None. So I went in and I woke Arlene up and I said, half ganache. Lord, give us our daily bread. Now the context here of this saying, this conversation of Jesus is so very important because it's the feeding of the 5,000. All these people are following Jesus, following his disciples. And in chapter 6, in verse number 5, Jesus says to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? And here's the point. Jesus, in this conversation, is going to teach these folks that, listen, that the sustenance of your soul is more important than the feeding of your body. Jesus, in the wilderness temptations, he was hungry, he was thirsty, but what was most important? What was most important was his connection with the Father. It's not just about the food in your body, it's about the food in your soul. And Jesus is going to offer something to this crowd of people, but it's not something that's just going to satisfy their body. He's going to offer to satisfy their soul. And so Jesus kind of rhetorically says to his followers here, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? What, 5,000 men plus women and children? Most scholars estimate that the crowd here was upwards of 10,000 or 12,000 people that Jesus said to sit down and we will feed you. You see, folks, here the beautiful thing about this. Later on in verse number 9, he says, but what good is that to this huge crowd? Now, if you remember what was happening here, Philip notices this young man. He has 5 loaves. He has 2 small fish. And this young man, out of his willingness to help, offers this small amount of food to Philip, small amount of food to Jesus. But then Philip says to Jesus, what good is this among this large crowd? In other words, Philip is saying, this will feed very few. It's only enough food really for a small boy. But Jesus is saying, listen, this is not just about food for your body. It's about food for your soul. It's about teaching you a beautiful lesson of trusting in Him. Matter of fact, I think what really is happening here is that sometimes Jesus makes us face up to the magnitude of our problems in order to demonstrate our total dependence on Him. In other words, what are you facing today? What's going on in your life that you aren't able to handle? You see, here in Jesus' day, all of a sudden they had all these people that wanted to eat, but they had very little or almost no food. But Jesus says that I can remedy that. But what he's really doing, he's teaching them to face up to the magnitude of the things that are going on in their lives and to demonstrate that really all they need to do is depend on Him. You see, that's what Philip's words meant to Jesus when he said that, you know, this is so little, it'll almost feed no one. Philip here is recognizing the magnitude of his problem. But it's not just so much that Jesus can help us overcome our immediate situation, but he can also deal with the long-term situation that we're facing in life. Because what's happening is that not just that we're hungry, but that we're hungry in our soul. You know, I had a really interesting thing happened the other day. I went by the bank, and as I drove through the bank, I noticed that the teller, the young lady whom I've seen many times, she had on a t-shirt, and it said something on the front of it, and she had a jacket on over it. So I was trying to, you know, I was just curious enough to try to realize what was going on. And all I could see really was 2 D's there on the jacket. And I said, what does your shirt say? And it referenced the little girl who's been sick in our community, Maddie. You read about her and her plight and her situation with fighting this brain tumor. And she showed me that her shirt said something about praying for Maddie. And so I looked in the rearview mirror and there was nothing behind me. So we got in a conversation about Maddie. And it was so neat because what she said to me that she learned is exactly what I'm trying to teach you today. We have these immediate problems, and they're big. The magnitude is large. What are we going to do? Is this person going to live or die? On and on it can go. And God wants us to help us with that. He wants us to face that. And we pray to God that something wonderful, that a miracle can happen. But what she seemed to say to me there in the drive-thru was that, you know what? We just need to keep praying. Need to keep loving. Keep trusting in God. We had such a nice conversation about God and what God wants to do for us and who God wants to be in our lives that finally somebody pulled in behind me. It was time for me to go, so I had to say to the young lady, could I have my money, please? See, when you're talking about the goodness of God, you can really get caught up in what God is doing. And listen, folks, whatever your problem is, God is trying to teach you, to demonstrate for you that what we need to do is totally depend on Him. Here's the disciples. Here's 10, 12,000 people. How in the world are we going to feed them? We've got 2 fish and 5 loaves given by this little boy. Oh, that's sweet, son. Thank you so much, but I don't know what that's going to do. We just need to trust in Him and believe in Him and allow Him to do His beautiful work. Now, here's the really neat thing about this story, too. After Jesus does this, after Jesus feeds all the people, after all the leftovers are picked up and the disciples and everyone else is amazed, look at what it says in verse 14 and 15. When people saw Him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely He is the prophet we've been waiting, we've been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force Him to be their king, He slipped away into the hills by Himself. One of the most intriguing passages in all of the New Testament. Here's Jesus Christ doing a miraculous miracle, feeding 10, 12,000 people, and the people are so amazed that they want to make Him king. And it says that Jesus slipped away before they could take Him by force and put a crown on His head. Do you know why? It's not always just about miracles. Jesus is saying, listen, it's not always about just eating physically and getting fed physically and getting fed physically. It's about the spiritual. And that's where this story changes, because all of a sudden He realizes and He teaches us that they don't get it. In verse number 35, what does He say? He says, "I am." I am the bread of life. You see, folks, what is that? That is the name of God. I am is the name of God. Jesus identifies Himself here with God. He proclaims for Himself to be the all-sufficient, the all-powerful Savior who brings life to all humankind. Bread. And He says that bread is for all. And as bread, Jesus satisfies the fundamental needs of our heart. Not just overcoming hunger, but to know God and to serve Him and to love Him every moment of our life. So here's the point. Which is it? I mean, for you and for me, which is it? I mean, do we just pray to God to satisfy our physical needs, the things that we want, the things that we desire, the things that we think we need? Or does it go further than that? Does our desire go further than that? You know, it was so funny. Several years ago, I bought a little boat, just a little boat to fish in. And man, I was so excited to get that boat. And before I ever used it, my neighbor came over and he said, "You know what the greatest two moments are in a boater's life?" So what is it? He said, "The day you buy it and the day you sell it." I said, "No, that's not going to be for me." 2 years ago when we moved down on Brush Mountain Road, and I put that boat out in the yard and put a for sale sign on it, and the guy came by and looked at it, and he said, "Yeah, I like this." He said, "Will you take cash?" And I thought back to that day that Lou told me that, the day you buy it and the day that you sell it. You see, here's the thing, though. God wants us to come into His kingdom and to love His Son in such a way that it never diminishes in any way, in any capacity, all the days that we live. But I don't know if you've ever noticed that in Scripture, it's not always like that. You know, you got the multitudes around that are watching Jesus do these miracles. You know, turning water to wine at the wedding in Canaan. And here, you know, feeding thousands of people with a small amount of fish and bread. But it's not always just about the miracles. Let me show you a couple of passages here that are really, really interesting. Look in John chapter 6 in verse number 60. It says, "When many of His disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. who can listen to it. In other words, what was happening was that they were hearing Jesus teaching. Like, man, I don't know sure about that. That doesn't make very much sense to me. It was a hard saying. You know, Jesus saying, you know, I'm the bread of life, but I'm not just talking about being satisfied physically. I'm talking about being satisfied spiritually and emotionally and mentally and eternally. And there were people who was like, hey, you know what? I really like that whole food thing, but I'm not sure about all this other stuff. And some of them walked away from that. You know, let me show it to you just a little bit stronger. Look in verse number 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. How can that happen? How can you do that? How can you not be satisfied with Jesus? But there were people that did exactly that. Now, verse 69, I think, is who we want to be. It says, verse 68, now Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Can you see that? Can you see the paradox here of people that are saying, eh, I'm not so sure about that. Hey, I'm going back, you know. I like the whole food thing, but now that that's over, I'm gonna go back. And then there were some, Peter and the disciples, that you're the Son of God. Which is it? Which is it for you? You know, what satisfies your soul? You know, when you read this story, there's a number of keys and applications that come to mind. You know, first of all, I think about communion. You know, at this time, Jesus is talking about the Passover here. You know, they're at that time of year. You know, it's springtime. The kids are playing in the streets, and the lambs are jumping in the field, and the shepherds are doing their thing. And here's Jesus talking about the bread of life. And not too long from now, he's gonna take the bread and he's gonna break it and he's gonna say, here, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's all about bread. And each week, as you take that little piece of bread, which is symbolic of his body broken for you, and as you take that, it's an exact representation of the exact teaching that Jesus is trying to give you here today. And it's simply this: that will never satisfy your physical hunger. It's your physical hunger is going to come back. It's going to be there. But hopefully you're satisfied in your soul and in your spirit. Sometimes I think this is the whole thing about never being hungry. You know, we don't understand this in our culture today. You know, I mean, I can't remember the last time that I was really hungry. I mean, you know, you go all night and you don't eat, and you may feel a slight hunger pain in the morning, but we really don't know what it means to be hungry. We don't eat when we're hungry, right? We eat when it's time to eat. Pastor John, you need to hurry up because it's getting about that time for me right now. I mean, we eat according to the clock. We don't know what it means to be hungry. Do you know what it means to be hungry for God? You know, to want a relationship with Jesus Christ that makes a difference, that answers life's tough questions, and even when you don't get the things that you think that you want or need, that you still have him. I can't tell you how many times I've been at a bedside of someone who was almost finished with their walk on this earth, but yet they're okay with it. I submit to you that the only way that that can happen is if a person has a deep, abiding understanding of what Jesus meant when he said that I am the bread of life. And when you eat of this bread, when you drink of his water, you will never thirst, you will never be hungry again. And here's this person who knows that their life is almost over. And they feel his presence in such a way that they know that they are fine. See, what Jesus is really trying to teach here is for everyone and for them and for us to say no to the satisfaction of this world. That even the food of this world never truly satisfies us. You know, yesterday, our staff here at First Church, we went down to Baltimore, Maryland. There were 12 of us, and we went down and had lunch at Fogo de Chão. You ever been there? Fogo de Chão is Brazilian for fire in the ground, and it's one of those Brazilian pit steakhouses, and they had beef, you know, sirloin and ribeye and filet mignon and pork chops and chicken and lamb and, you know, all kinds of meats. And you have this little disc and it's green and you just turn it over to green and they'll just keep bringing it to you. You know, there's Mike. I think Mike and I, between us, we ate a whole cow. But you know what, folks? Even that doesn't satisfy. I mean, it's so funny last night because when we were coming home, just a few hours later, okay, we just pigged out at this place for 2 hours, you know, and as we're coming home, I'll never forget it because Connie is sitting next to me in the van, and she pulls this bag out of her backpack, and she says, "Would you like some chips?" Chips? I just ate a cow. Why would I want chips? But nothing of this world ever satisfies. Our hunger always comes back. But Jesus is saying here that hunger that is satisfied by a relationship with him, it doesn't come back. Now here's the point I want to make before we close. I wonder what these guys talked about after this miracle. I wonder, did they talk about what Jesus did? Is that all they talked about? I mean, you should have been there. There was at least 12,000 people there. And he had everybody sit down on the ground. And there was this little boy, had 2 fish and 5 loaves. And he took that and he prayed and he asked God to bless it. And he passed it out. And everybody was fed. And everybody got seconds. And then we picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. You should have been there. It was incredible. You see, you can talk about what God did. But the ones that hung around talked about who God was. Talked about who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. You see, those that turned back, those that left, those that turned around, they talked about what he did. Those that hung around, and hopefully us, we talk about who he is. And how he is the true satisfaction that our soul desires. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we know that when you look these folks in the eye, and after feeding thousands of people, after picking up basket after basket of leftover, that you looked at those that claimed they were following you, and you said, "I am the bread of life. And if you eat of this bread that I give to you, that you will never go hungry again." The message that you gave to the one woman at the well, now you give to many, and you give to us. There were those, Lord, that said, "Thank you for the food, thank you for the meal," and they went on their way. And then there were others that understood that it's not just about nourishment for your body, but nourishment for your soul. So they hung around, Lord. They hung around and experienced your death and your burial, and 3 days later, your resurrection. So God, may we leave here today not just talking about you the miraculous. But Lord, may we know you as a Savior and as a friend, as the one who nourishes our soul and who gives us the manna that never is corrupt, that is always fresh. That, Lord, the bread we receive from you is not just daily bread, but it's eternal bread. And Father, may it satisfy us from inside out. And Lord, may we share that satisfaction with others that are seeking so many other things to find meaning and purpose in life. So Lord, do for us what you did for them, Lord. May we see our problems magnified to the point that we know that you are our only salvation. And then, Lord, may we depend on you for all that we need. And when everyone else looks around and sees the impossible, may we see you. May we see you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.